Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers.
On this episode of Transmissions, we are joined by Epic as TransArt shows off their Optimus Primal. Mech Fans Toys has a G1 Octane in the works, and Jada Toys shows off new G1 Optimus Prime and Bumblebees. Today is Wednesday, June 17th, 2020, and this is episode 386 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that doesn't recommend watching the movie Contagion during a real pandemic. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The extraordinary Epic.
Hello.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, don't watch Space Force either. Let's talk Transformers.
All right, for different reasons. All right, well, unfortunately, we have to start off the show on a sad note because we had some passings this week. First, Hubert Gonneau, the French-Canadian voice of G1 Optimus Prime, and coincidentally, the voice of the French-Canadian version of Homer Simpson on The Simpsons, passed away. So our condolences to his family, and sad to see, you know, one of the major, I guess, he seemed to be a pretty big, well-known voice actor in, you know, in French language. Sad to see that, you know, another loss. And another loss was really surprising was legendary comics writer Denny O'Neil. And he's, of course, well known for his work on Batman, other DC comics and Marvel comics stuff. But, of course, in Transformers circles, he wrote the original treatment for the Transformers story for Marvel Comics. And he is credited as the man who named Optimus Prime. And he also passed away this week. So two sad passings from some people who are connected to Transformers. We also, just as a coincidence, Daryl actually got to interview Denny O'Neil last year at Toronto Comic Con, back when they still had conventions in the world.
The before time.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll put a link to our video, our YouTube video, in the show notes this week, so you can take a look at that if you didn't get a chance to watch it last year. But yeah, I mean, he was being active right up until the end, doing lots of stuff, you know, going to conventions and everything. And yeah, it's just sad to see these folks pass on. Condolences to their families. All right, so let's move on with the show. As always, we thank our Donatrions, those lovely people who contribute to the show. They help us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like to become a Donatrion and you're not one already, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's where you can sign up to help us out. If you are a Donatrion, you are automatically entered into our monthly Toy Hacks $10 giveaway. We do that drawing at the end of every month. You know, that's one way to guarantee your spot and hopefully win a prize. If you are not a Donatrion, you can still enter the contest just by sending an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com. For this month, you should get your emails in by next Sunday, June 21st, because we're probably going to do the drawing then. We'll announce it if it gets pushed back and you have some extra time. But for right now, it's that's probably going to be the date. So you've got some time to send in your entry if you so desire. Of course, an easier way is to just sign up for that Donatrion, but, you know, whatever you want to do. If you send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com, please send us a picture of a Transformer toy you would like to get stickers from Toy Hacks, just to, you know, show off some of your collection. Another way to help out the show is to buy some merchandise from our TeePublic store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out our artist friend K-Girl and her store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. We've got lots of shirt designs. We've got masks for all your pandemic needs. Everything you buy from our link will help out the show. So even if you don't buy transmission stuff, if you buy anything from TeePublic just through our link to their store, that helps us out. Also, this week, we are releasing the uncut version of Empire of Rust episode 25. So this is the Patreon-only, Donatreon-only special episode that has all the outtakes left in that is exclusive to our Donatreons, and that is available now through our Patreon website or through our Dropbox for our PayPal Donatreons. So check that out. And I think that's all the news. So let's, or all the business. So let's move on to toy news.
All right. And this week, I've got some images of the prototype that Fans Hobby is putting out. These images are courtesy of Dime Chalk's Facebook page, but this is MB 15 Naval Commander, and it's Armada Optimus Prime. And we've got three different selections of images. They are all like albums of their different modes. So the first one is him in his robot mode, and this thing is super detailed, highly articulated, and just looks really good. I have the original Armada Optimus Prime. This is like the one they're doing is kind of a combination between like Bendy Prime and then the super combined one, whatever, the super robot or super Optimus, whatever the hell he was called. I don't know. Jeremy, you probably know.
I can't remember. I didn't care for that combined mode. It's Bendy Prime or nothing.
Ah, okay. Well, they've got this Bendy Prime that looks amazing, and he's got all the bells and whistles. His tires do appear to be plastic. I know that there's a lot of fans out there of Fans Hobby, and they can probably attest to whether or not the trucks come with rubber tires or not. I have yet to get one, so I can't confirm nor deny. But this guy looks really great. The second set of images concentrate on his truck mode, and once again, just look really, really good as the Armada Optimus Prime truck mode. And yeah, this is just a 3D printed model. Looks really great, and all the different kinds of angles. But the one that caught my eye right off the bat was the third set of images, which concentrate on the truck turning into the top portion of the super robot mode. And it looks good, but it's clearly, skipped leg day here, because it's just being held up by a couple of stands, but the stands are in the place of where the legs would be. And it looked funny to me just from seeing it from the first time. And it's funny, but anyway, concentrating on the actual figure, it looks phenomenal in its super robot torso mode here. Like I said, I do have the original figure, and it's kind of clunky where they turn the truck cab into this, torso, and it works. Like the back of the truck becomes the arms, and, the front of the truck is the real, like the torso. Then the head just kind of is there. It's not really secure, but it does work. So this thing looks solid, like really solid. And then as you continue on through the pictures, you do see that he does seem to have a light in his, in his head. So his eyes light up. There's a lot of good articulation in the arms as well, like, the back of the truck. So I'm really impressed with the way this thing is turning out. It looks to be gigantic. So I can't wait to see what they do with the trailer that turns into the legs. Famously, the original, the legs do nothing. They're just kind of a trailer that kind of folds inside out. And then just holds up the torso. So the legs don't even have no articulation whatsoever. They're just a stand for this thing that kind of resemble legs. So I'm hoping that this trailer that they make will eventually will have some actual articulation. I can't see why they wouldn't do it, but it'll be quite interesting to see what they end up doing with it. Let's start with Epic. You've ventured into third party with your giant Devastator figure and such. This is this is a massive Optimus Prime that they're doing, and they're showing it off in just the first component. What do you think of the Optimus Prime here?
I think it looks super sweet. I really love how, like in the first set of photos, super beefy. I love the sweet shots with his blaster pointing out all cool and stuff. But yeah, it looks really awesome. I don't know much about necessarily like the Armada Prime, but yeah, this looks really cool. And then I was just thinking, if you don't end up liking the legs they come out with, you can just use these clear posts, and those got articulation and stuff. You can pose them around that way. If you don't end up liking the legs they come up with their trailer.
There are definitely knees and ankles here.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can do all sorts of poses with these. So hopefully though, they have some sweet posability when they come out, but I do love, in this last set, I love how they show the scale by having, like the car on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's actually a Minicon.
Yeah. So yeah. The Armada Prime would have come, does come with a, like this yellow sports car Minicon. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're kind of showing here, is that this figure is going to come with a Minicon of sorts. And put on the side here.
Yeah. I put in a picture of the original toy.
Yeah. I see that now. Yeah. I see that. Thanks. I love the piping too in his eyes, or the light, or maybe it's not piping, but, yeah, no, overall this guy does look really sweet. I love it. I love it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look into getting him.
And they are saying that this first Optimus Prime figure, without its, the add-on legs trailer thing, just the Optimus by himself is going to be almost 8 inches tall. So
that's pretty good size. Yeah.
That's a decent sized
torso.
So, Jeremy, you've already mentioned that you really don't like this Optimus Prime, but you are a fan of the Bendy Prime, which is essentially what they're going for with the torso here. What are your opinions of this thing here?
I actually probably want to amend that, because I'm not a fan of the original toy. Like you said, it's basically the trailer leg part is basically a brick. And that's the part that I never really liked. And it also had that kind of auto-transforming gimmick that basically just kind of folded the trailer inside out, like you said. Bendy Prime is an amazing figure, especially for its time. This looks like they did a really good job of, having all of that posability and that look in the smaller figure. And I love it. This is a figure I'm going to consider buying.
Really?
Yeah. Even if the trailer and stuff is crap, I would keep it, because I have like all but maybe one or two of the variants of the original Bendy Prime. So this, I think they did an excellent job on it. The combined mode, like the top half, does look really good. I really like the look. Compared to this picture I have of the original toy, this one just looks so much better. Like the head sculpt looks immensely better. Like the kind of wings on the side of his head in the original toy, I never really liked. This one looks more kind of subdued, but it still looks really good. I like the way that they're integrating the Minicon as well.
Okay.
He has these like ports on his shoulders that are, they aren't the pegs like in the original toy, like for Minicons. They're doing their own thing here, but obviously they're going to have a small, transforming car that can attach. And I'm really interested to see how that's going to work. I think, I really like it when a third party takes a gimmick and kind of makes it their own, puts their own little spin on it. And the connector that they have here on his shoulders looks a lot more stable.
Okay.
And then the original Hasbro one, it looks like there's a hole and then something else that looks like it might click in. Yeah. I think this figure looks great.
Cool. Well, I just put a link in the Discord chat there of the pre-order for this very figure. So take a look at that. It's due out in the fourth quarter of this year, and retail price on it is $215, which is actually less than I thought it was going to be.
I mean, if TFCon doesn't happen, this might be my TFCon purchase.
There you go. It's quite large. So I expected it to be closer to 3. So also, one more thing is, you know, it's been a while since we've talked about Bendy Prime. And, you know, like you tend to say, every podcast is somebody's first podcast. So why don't you tell everyone what Bendy Prime is?
Okay. Well, Bendy Prime. Oh, and also the combined mode is super mode or super mode prime, I believe.
I'm sure, but I said about 5 different things, and one of them was probably that.
Yeah. But Bendy Prime was, what was the class name at the time? Basic, or it was the equivalent to what we have as Deluxes today. And it was just basically the cab of the truck, not the combined. It was its own figure. And it was just super poseable in every conceivable way. You could, you know, for a figure that came out in like 2000, 2001, or actually 2002, that, around that time, you could just do so much posing with it, and it was just so much fun to just fiddle with. There was a knee issue that you had to actually, if you want to get full posability, you had to like take apart the legs and flip the knee around. But it's just such a fun figure. If you ever run across one in just, you know, like a bin of used toys, pick it up.
Charles, I know you're very fond of large trucks that turn into robots and combine with their trailers. This is this fits that bill. Is this something on your radar?
I mean, I am not the biggest Armada Optimus Prime fan, so I have to say it's probably not something I would pick up. I mean, especially not for that price point. But I do say it's very I mean, it looks very good as a figure. I mean, just comparing it to the original figure that we saw, Jeremy posted that picture. This looks a lot, you know, it looks a lot better proportioned and more articulated, even though, like Bendy, like Jeremy already said, Bendy Prime is pretty freaking poseable. And I think this guy's seems to be even better. And then it looks like the super mode will be much better than the original toy super mode, where it looks like it's going to be even, you know, just as poseable in the super mode as in the, you know, single Bendy Prime mode. So I think this is a really good representation of Armada Optimus Prime. So, and I think the price point kind of bears that out, and how much it, you know, he's over $200 for this figure. I think you're getting what you pay for, I guess.
Is the time right for Armada stuff to start getting, you know, third party treatment?
I mean, I think it's probably overdue. I mean, Armada started in 2002, so that's 18 years. I think all those kids are probably young adults now, out of college, got some income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, maybe they had some income last year. I don't know about right now. But,
maybe they'll have money by October.
Yeah, maybe. there's probably some more. If you're a Transformers fan and you grew up around that time, you're probably familiar with Armada, so maybe there's some fond memories there. One question I have is, we did see that there's going to be a Bendy Prime, like a mainline Bendy Prime figure being released in the War for Cybertron figures. I mean, we saw a prototype last year, but it hasn't been announced officially yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's going to compete with this one, because I'm sure that one will not be $200. So
no, it won't. That's true.
Will it be as poseable? That's the other question.
And will it have a trailer to do the super mode?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. It seems that this one will be out first. Yeah, that's a good question. I kind of forgot all about that one. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what, because we still got some time before mm-hmm. the end of the year, before this one's fully ready. We haven't even seen what the trailer's going to do on it. But and like you said, we really haven't seen much from the Hasbro one at all. So, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens with both of the figures here and what they're going to produce and how it starts to look. But I don't know. I think probably there's a market for both, because I mean, I'll probably get the mainline one just to have something. But like you said, this is more of a niche thing for fans of Armada Prime or Jeremy. So, but other than that, this is all I had for this week. Jeremy, why don't you tell us what you brought to the show?
I have pictures of this new skateboard gorilla figure. I guess the company name is TA. I'm not entirely sure.
TransArt.
Oh, TransArt. Okay. Have we heard anything from them before?
I don't think so.
Recognize the name. Well, this image is all in. I think this is Chinese. Might be Japanese. I'm not entirely sure. I guess it's Chinese because the prices are in yuan. But it is the Transmetal Optimus Primal figure. The one that in the show has a surfboard. Apparently, this is a skateboard.
Is it a pit bull?
I wouldn't know. I'm not into the skateboard lingo.
Back to the Future.
Oh. I feel bad for missing that. But anyway, I'm thrown off.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
No, it's good. He gets thrown off easily. You need to do it more.
I'm like a dog that sees a squirrel.
Never right, stop interrupting.
Okay. So this figure comes with the two maces that Optimus Primal had in season two. It also comes with five faces, three of the gorilla faces and two of the robot mode faces, two blast effects, and then I'm not sure what all these pieces are. I believe it looks like it might come with a base, but lots of interesting pieces here. Like I said, everything is in Chinese. The price here, it says it's going to be $531 and comes out August 2020. It's going to be about 8.5 inches tall, or as Daryl helpfully put in here, 21.5 centimeters, so around masterpiece scale. And I mean, I think it looks great. We only have this one picture. You know, we obviously can't see the back and stuff, but it looks like the blue pieces look like they're metallic, chromed. Everything else looks like just regular paint. Daryl,
yo,
I know you're such a huge Beast Wars fan. What do you think of this?
There's a lot of it that I actually really like. These black pieces here that you were confused by seem to be like a flight stand, where you can kind of plug the figure into it and it just kind of maneuver him around. So there's, you know, a few different lengths of plastic and then four different, you know, joints where you can ratchet him around and kind of put him in different, you know, positions. That's really awesome. I love the fact that he's got different faces. That's really great. And that everything kind of fits together and you can put his, you know, his little shoulder armor in front of him and build like this, you know, this gun turret thing. And the fact that it's coming with blast effects, like, you know, everything's coming with blast effects now. I kind of like it, you know, and in my head, if everything works well and these blast effects can be used with the Hasbro ones and vice versa, I'm going to be really happy. You know, you can see in some of the pictures, you can tell that his, like, his hands are articulated, at least, you know, his index finger and his thumb are articulated. I really like the way that this thing looks. Masterpiece scale on this guy puts him big, like a good chunk bigger than, you know, his original counterpart. I like it. You saying that original price on him is $531. That's about $75 US, which is crazy cheap for a masterpiece scale figure, right? So, you know, I'm pretty excited about this thing. If it is in fact around $75, you know, that'll push it around 100 Canadian. I'm up for it. And, you know, we haven't heard about this country before, or company before.
You ever heard of China before?
I've never heard of China.
It's a pretty big part of it.
But this company, TransArt, never heard much about them before, but this figure, this skateboard gorilla, is actually labeled as their BWM-02. So what's their first one? That's what I want to know. But yeah, that's, if they're going to start doing Beast Wars figures and they're starting with Transmetals, then I'm all for that because I'm a big Transmetals toy fan. Give me Transmetal Megatron. That's what I want.
I just looked up BWM-01.
Do we want to know? Is it safe for work?
If you like that episode. It's a transmutate figure from
Beast. Oh, now I'm disappointed.
My least favorite episode.
God, it's so ugly.
And I just posted a link in the chat. Ugh. Well, Epic, I don't know if we've really talked to you about Beast Wars.
No, not really. I also...
Did you like it?
I have not even seen Beast Wars. It's on my to-do list to watch. Everyone tells me I need to watch it and that they love it.
It's totally skippable.
But I don't know. I look at all the characters and I just think it looks so absurd. And I don't know
mid-90s, early CGI. Yeah. So
this figure to me, it has no meaning or calling to me in any way, just because I don't know or haven't seen Beast Wars and stuff. But I mean, looks neat.
Everyone needs a surfboarding gorilla.
Yeah, I mean, just that alone makes it worth it. What is the gadgetry he's got going on in the, what is that, second photo? He's like holding it up to his face and like shooting out of it. Is that like a thing? Is that just some...
I can't remember if it's something in the show. Oh, I mean, okay. It looks like they just combined all of the little pieces.
That was in the show. It was basically like his backpack in gorilla mode. When he's in robot mode, he can flip it around and it becomes like a gun turret, so he can like shoot stuff while he's flying around.
All right.
It's absurd. Yeah. It is absurd.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you've got a gorilla on a skateboard. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely encourage you to watch it. Maybe when we get around to reviewing some episodes, we can make sure they're ones that you're here to watch.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, it's definitely on my list. Like I said, I've had a handful of people who just are like, it seems absurd. No, but just watch it. You'll like it. I will.
Charles, I know that you like Beast Wars because you, like me, have good taste in shows. What do you think of this figure?
It looks good. I mean, it looks just like a scaled up version of the original toy. So, I mean, my brother was the right age for Beast Wars when it was coming out. So I think I've told this on the show before. I inherited all his toys when he got tired of Transformers. Like, he grew up and I never grew up. So I just got all his toys when he was done with them. The Optimus Primal, Transmetal toy was pretty good. This is a good representation of it. I mean, it's almost too faithful to the original toy because I kind of hate the gorilla mode stubby legs. And it still has that.
Yeah. Those are.
So, I mean, yeah, that's kind of a compromise to enable the surfboard part. But yeah, it still looks pretty bad. It's just like, it reminds me of King of the Hill, where Hank's father, who had his lower legs cut off and had his feet sewed on to his knees. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I do wish they were just a touch longer.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Are you able to reference everything back to some kind of Fox cartoon?
I mean, it could be any cartoon. Simpsons is right there, and then King of the Hill is Simpsons adjacent. You know, I'll throw in a Futurama once in a while every now and then, but, you know.
But otherwise, Charles is a Fox man.
Yep.
Only the Fox Network. That's the regular network. That's the only Fox Network I'm interested in.
Well, I think that is it for this figure. But we'll obviously be following it. I think with the price, you know, it's something that a lot of us are interested in. So, Epic, what do you have this week?
Alrighty, I do this every time because I don't know, Jada Jada. Toys, they're bringing us new photos of their little 4-inch G1 Transformers Optimus Prime and Bumblebee Metal Figs. And this time they've got their cute little blasters in the photo. And these guys are pretty sweet. They're going to have limited articulation, but they'll have like light up eyes and their die cast and stuff, and then interchangeable accessories. So they're looking for like Optimus Prime. He'll have his battle axe and the blaster and stuff. But this time they've put out a photo, like I said, of Bumblebee and Optimus looking all cool with their blasters. And I just think they're absolutely adorable. So yeah, Jeremy, do chibi figures interest you at all?
At times. I think these look cute. If the price is right, I would probably pick up a couple.
Yeah.
I don't know if these are very poseable, maybe outside of the shoulders. But
right, yeah. It's maybe, yeah, like the shoulders, maybe they're like at like the hips, maybe it twists a little or something so you can point their feet. But yeah, it doesn't really look like their knees bend or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, between this and we saw pictures from some Asian toy show of some of the other figures where like the eyes light up.
Yeah.
I remember liking them then. So yeah, I mean, if the price is right, these are something I'd be interested in.
Yeah. Daryl, what are your thoughts?
I think they look great. Obviously the two in the original photo here are, they're a little cartoony colored, but the ones that Jeremy was referencing from the, like the toy show floor that we saw, I don't know when, but a while back.
Yeah, I think, in that link, I think someone has the photo right there, right?
Yeah, you scroll down a little bit. They're the first photo there. And you see Dirge and Blue Streak, Hot Rod, Shockwave. I think that's Cliff Jumper in the back. And then Ratchet. And the like the metallic paint on them. And they look badass. They really do.
Yeah.
I love the metallic paint on them. Hot Rod particularly just looks really great. Shockwave with the larger eye in the middle that really stands out and looks awesome as well. They really do look good. When I think of Jada toys, I really don't think of figures like this. I think of like the little dinky cars and the stuff that was kind of shitty, but these are really good looking. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
They're cool. Yeah, and if the price is right on them, I might pick up a few.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Charles, what about you? You and the little chibi Transformers?
Yeah, these look cute. And these are something I could have on my desk just to play with. Yeah. It would be cool if they transform too, but I know that's asking a lot, but they look cute. Although I think I have to disappoint everyone. I think the ones in the that are in the picture scroll down, those are not the Jada Toys ones. Those are Kids Logic.
Oh, yep. I see that they're now in that picture.
Yeah, those are third-party ones, so those are not affiliated with the Jada Toys ones.
Well, maybe...
No, they're officially licensed. They have the Hasbro logo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, they're a different company, though. But, so
yeah, they are a different company. Yeah.
Well, then there's a little competition then for Jada. Mm-hmm. They got another group out there making the same... Because, yeah, I did notice, like, the painting on the like Optimus and Bumblebee doesn't seem as metallic-y and extreme as these photos from like the show and stuff. So it makes sense that since they are different companies, they got a different style to them or whatever. So maybe it's worth looking into these. What'd you say? Kids Logic? Yeah.
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 And looks like the Kids Logic ones all have LEDs in them. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, these do too.
Yep.
If you,
they just don't have a photo of them lit up.
Yeah, if you look at the link incoming there, there's a picture of Bumblebee with his eyes lighting up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and that is my little segment that I have for today. What about you, Charles?
All right. So I am a big fan of the Legends class, kind of smaller figures. And we've got another one from MechFans Toys. This one is Poisonous Frog, and this is a legend scaled G1 Octane, triple changer Octane. And it looks good. I don't know why they named it Poisonous. I said Poisonous Frog. It's Poisonous Fog. still not sure on where the name comes from for Octane. He turns into an oil tanker and a jet. I don't know. The oil is poisonous and the jet makes fog.
I prefer Poisonous Frog. I want to keep that name.
If he like dumps the fuel he has, that'd be poisonous.
Okay.
It's just the best name ever. That's why.
But yeah, I mean, this is a prototype, so we don't have a colored version, but it looks good. It looks very poseable. The jet mode looks good. The truck mode looks good. Looks much better than the G1 figure. I had the G1 figure. I think I still have my old, my G1 figure of this. and it's pretty clunky. It's pretty blocky. The jet is just has the truck mode hanging on the bottom, so it's very it's not very hidden away in either mode. But this one looks a lot better, and it's got the smaller legend scale size, so they've even shrunk it down to get all this better posability and articulation and the distinct modes. So it looks good. Epic, what do you think of this guy?
I think he looks pretty sweet. I don't know too much about him, but I do know, you know, with being a triple changer, usually one of the modes tend to suffer, but I don't feel like looking at the truck and trailer and the plane stuff, I think they all look pretty great, transformed and stuff. I'll be curious to see him colored, you know, see how that looks. Yeah. But yeah, I think he looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, Octane's kind of the it seems like Blitzwing and Astrotrain get all the love for triple changers since they were in the cartoon, but Octane's the third one that, you know, he's always kind of standing off to the side, doesn't get a lot of the spotlight.
Wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No, he looks great.
Cool. Jeremy, what do you think of this guy?
I like him. I've never really been the biggest Octane fan. As you mentioned, not a lot of people are. But I think they did a good job, especially being legend scaled, making the truck and the plane modes look as good as they do. I think it's great. I'm sure with paint it'll be even better, but like outside of a couple little bits, you can barely tell that the plane is something else and that the truck is something else. So, you know, good job there. The robot mode looks good. I think they did a great job.
Daryl, we will finish it up with you.
All right. I got one question first. Epic, did you say truckin' trailer or fucking trailer?
Truckin' trailer.
All right. All right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Wow. Okay. She really likes those trailers.
She's really into it.
When the trailer's knocking, don't come. The trailer's rocking, don't come knocking.
But I agree. The I think, like Epic was saying, if any one of the three modes does suffer, it's probably the plane mode, because it's just you can, by looking at it, you can see like wheels hanging around, and you know, there's at the tail end, there's, you know, that's where the front of the truck is, and you can definitely tell that because the wheels are facing up. But you can, it's still a plane. Like, I mean, you can still see that that's a jumbo jet, right? The truck is phenomenally done. I'm really impressed with how well the truck looks. But the real winner here is the robot mode, which just looks really well done. You know, there's only a couple little gaps here and there. You can see through his heel, but I mean, I'm not, when it comes to legend scales, I'm inclined to give a lot of real leniency when it comes to, you know, to the design. And this is, like you said, a triple changer. So they're doing an awful lot with such a little, you know, amount of wiggle room here. So I'm really impressed with this, and I'm, you know, when it comes to legend scale stuff, I'm going to keep it generally in robot mode on my shelf, which this is the best mode. So in my opinion anyway, but I'm really quite impressed with this. And I too have never really been a big Octane fan, but you know, it looks so good that I might end up getting one of these. So yeah, I'm very impressed with this.
Cool. All right, Octane's his status is raising a little bit from more third party love. So cool. All right, so that is my toy topic, and that'll finish up our toy section. So we will move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the awesome Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video that you can see it on YouTube and see everything we've got in beautiful high definition. We also put the audio right here in the show so you can keep listening and listen to us describe everything we've got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
And I'm going to start off first because I don't have much stuff. We pulled out, since we're doing the Dreamwave comics, I pulled out my Dreamwave issues. This is issue 2 of Dreamwave Transformers Generation 1, Volume 2, issue 2. You can see the two covers form a single image. I hope you can see that. So that's always cool.
That's awesome.
So you got, you know.
I did not realize
that. Trying to force people to pull Shelton's.
So I like this. And yeah, this was Ultra Magnus being introduced in the comic, but he's fighting against the Autobots and Optimus Prime? What? What's going on?
What is happening? Well,
we will discuss that on Alt Mode Friday. Another thing I would just want to show is a friend of the show, Livio Remondelli, his artist and creator-owned book, The Kill Lock, that's being published by IDW. It's Transformers adjacent. He's a well-known Transformers artist, but this is not a Transformers story, but it is a story about sentient robots. So all the characters are sentient robots, so they don't transform, but, you know, Livio's art style has done a lot for Transformers, and it's really cool here. So just want to plug his book. Everyone should check this out. So The Kill Lock, this is issue 5, so, you know, you can pick these up either digitally or at your local comic shop. And the story's almost over because issue 6 will probably be out next month. So
awesome.
Check that out.
It's getting really good reviews too.
Yeah. And he wrote and did all the art. So kudos to Livio. All right. Jeremy, I'm going to throw it over to you. What do you got?
I am scraping the bottom of the barrel. I don't have anything new. But what I do have, I have some stuff from Revenge of the Fallen.
Great, great stuff.
I don't remember when I got these, why I got these. I have this. It's still, I haven't opened it. I'm probably not. But it's a peel and stick border from Revenge of the Fallen.
So lucky.
If you can see the images here, it's got...
Oh my God, that's so great.
Like Bumblebee, Megatron, Optimus... Starscream and some other, I guess, Ratchet.
It's still sealed.
yeah, so still sealed. I don't know. It,
what is it? Where do you peel and stick it?
it's for like a kid's bedroom.
Oh, like okay. Trim, like, yeah, border,
like a border on the wall.
Ah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Take okay, the backing off and throw it directly in the garbage.
Exactly.
Line the trash can with it.
Well,
the inside of the trash can.
Yeah, and then I also have from Revenge of the Fallen some tattoos. This is really big. I don't know why it would be for a kid, because these logos are both bigger than a kid's arm.
They're back tattoos.
Or the neck, right on the neck.
Your shoulder. 7-year-old's got a neck tat. I love it.
Or you can combine them all, and then you can have like a 7-year-old with their soul sleeve. I don't know, but at least these aren't as offensive as that, because you know the faction logos are the faction logos. Mm-hmm.
You need to put them on your kid next time you bring them up for a convention.
Right on the forehead.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but this was only $3.99. And the last thing I have is more palatable. Like, all these were together where I found them, but this is some G1 stickers.
Oh, fun.
Ooh. On this side, you got your classic characters. On the other side, the other stickers have, like, some sayings. I don't know what's going on with, like, that Prime and stuff, but... Better than the Revenge of the Fallen stuff.
Those are the same stickers that my daughter used to write that Transformers book she wrote when she was like 5.
I would bet. I don't know when I got these either.
I think that's all
up on YouTube. Yeah,
I think that's all Don Figueroa art.
I think so. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me. What's the year on this? 2014. So I guess Hasbro owns all the art anyway.
Yeah.
But these I probably also won't open just because I'm like that. But if my kid finds them, then all bets are off. But that's all I got this week.
All right, Daryl, we come to you.
All right. Well, I went shopping this week at an actual store and found an actual Transformer to buy that I didn't own yet. So I bought it, and it is Optimus Prime, but it's Earthrise Optimus Prime.
Nice.
With the trailer. I hadn't found them before, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a look, and I found them. The trailer's not bad. It's just a box that opens up. I put his Matrix of Leadership in there just because I was using something else.
He doesn't need it.
I have a better one that opens up, and he was holding it in for a picture or two that I was taking. So, but anyway, I really like this one. It's really good. A lot of people were saying that, you know, he's basically the Siege Optimus Prime, but, you know, with a couple changes here and there. There's a lot of changes, like quite a few changes. First of all, I think this one's a little taller. One of them's a little taller than the other, but the back is really clean. He's got his wheel butt again. It works. Like, if you remember, the Siege Optimus Prime had that big plate on the back that when you transform him came up and went on top. And this one here, they had to do something completely different because they didn't have that to cover up all the junk. The articulation on him is really great. The one thing that I kind of don't like about him is that up here, just underneath the chest is just, it just kind of cuts off and drops. There's no real kind of like taper to it. It's just a straight cutoff, but I can kind of get used to that. It transforms really well. Like, it's a really sublime transformation. And yeah, like the windows open up in the front to reveal a Matrix compartment as well. Like, but I said he's missing it, so I have that one in there. But yeah. So, but no, I really like him. He's really fun to mess around with. His transformation is really, really good, and he looks okay with the trailer. He's small. That's, you know, the one thing that I'm kind of dinked about, but that seems to be the way that they're going, is these modern leaders are actually around Voyager class or smaller, and they've put a whole bunch of other plastic in mm-hmm. you know, an accessory for them. Now, Prime does need a trailer, I guess, but I really would like them to be a little bigger. There's a you know, that Prime from, what was the one that was like the that came then the inner robot turned into Orion Pax? What line was that from?
That was Power of the Primes.
Power of the Primes, right? So the Optimus Prime body was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
When he was all combined, he was huge, right? That's a leader class figure. This is a leader class figure as well. So I mean, they did the same thing. But now it seems like you're getting less of a figure.
It seems like he might be better designed.
He's more articulated, but I mean, in the other figure, you got two toys. But anyway, it's still fun. He's still a really great figure, a really cool transformation. And if you're looking for Earthrise, if you're kind of on the fence and you're like, well, I've got Siege Optimus, or I've got two Siege Optimuses because they repainted them like four times, and you're like, I don't really want the Earthrise one because they're the same, I can tell you they are not the same. They are different. They are very different. And transforming them side by side, you're like, that's the same piece, but it goes in a different spot. So, yeah. So I highly recommend picking him up. Yeah, he's a little pricey because he's a leader. You'll find a way to use him. And there's none of that, like grime on him from being
no longer in battle.
Because he's on Earth now.
Yeah. He's clean. But yeah, that's all I got this week. I've had a lot of fun messing with them. And now that I've shown them off on the store, I've taken a lot of pictures of them this week just to kind of, you know, put in the over Twitter this week. So I'm going to finally start dropping those on Wednesday when the show goes up. But that's it. That's what I got this week.
All right, Epic, we will finish up with you.
All righty. So some of you may know I love Brickheads. And a long time ago, I stumbled upon these things called Cute Doll. And ordered them, and I forgot about them, and they arrived. And what they are is they are Transformer Brickheads, little dudes. And I think what I got a handful of them, but their names are really what sell them. You know, you got Giant Warrior here, Asp Warrior,
Make sure you say that P there.
Super Inspector going on.
Mm, yep. Okay.
Oh, this one I got super real clever with. Shock Wave. Okay. Then we've
For the people who only see the audio, we should tell them what these are.
See the audio,
or can only hear the audio.
Let's see, so Giant Warrior, we got Optimus, Asp Warrior, we've got Bumblebee, then Shockwave.
What is Shockwave? I'm not sure what that is. Shockwave.
Then Super Inspector, we've got Hound, and then Strong War God. All right, little Devastator.
Nice.
Steel Warrior for Grimlock, and then Flame Spider. Anyone? For
what?
Yeah, who's Flame Spider? Little Starscream.
Okay.
This one though. Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Megatron Warrior.
Now, which one is that?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I can't figure it out.
Can you hold that one up again? I want to see like the little faction logo that they came up with. I think that's really cute. That
Sonic Warrior.
Okay, yep. That one kind of makes sense. Yeah,
yep.
And that's Soundwave. Yep. Soundwave.
And then Dark Jazz. Okay. Don't know who that
but
is.
He's regular color jazz.
I wish they'd called him Smooth Jazz.
Yeah, that would have been way better.
That would have been.
Then we've got Recording Warrior. Guesses who that is. And then the last one here, we got ourselves a little Insecticon, a little Recoil Warrior.
Yeah. Oh, Kickback Recoil. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got those in the mail the other day. Because I bought them from, like, Alibaba or AliExpress or whatever, I don't know. One of those. I got them cheaper by not getting them in the box, you know. So, I bought them in the whole set in just bags and just took months to get over here and then... They showed up, and I was super excited to get them open and look at them. But yeah, someone in Discord actually pointed me to them, so that's how I found these guys. So yeah,
nice.
The best packages are the ones that you've forgotten about.
Yeah, no, like went out to the mailbox. And I was like, "What the heck?" And then it wasn't until I opened, I was like, "Oh my god, I totally forgot I ordered these." So yeah, it was like Christmas.
All right, well, that will do it for this episode of Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will move on to convention news.
All right, I got good news for everybody. We're all going to Comic-Con.
Woohoo!
Awesome. Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con has announced that they are going virtual this year. It's basically all we know right now. July 22nd through 26th, 2020, they're going to be streaming a whole bunch of stuff. Use the official Comic-Con at home hashtag. I'm guessing we're going to have more announcements about panels and stuff between now and July. And also exclusives. I would imagine Hasbro Pulse is going to throw up exclusives over that time. You know, with what we've seen from like WonderCon, which is also run by the same people that run, you know, San Diego, I think WonderCon was kind of a test run. So it'll probably be a little bit more formalized panels rather than the ones that they just sporadically put out over the course of a few weeks. So anyway, yay, Comic-Con.
Getting an exclusive is going to be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But hey, at least you don't have to stand in line.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, you have to just chill at home.
Yeah, sit in a comfortable chair and keep clicking up or hitting F5 or whatever.
Well, Hasbro Pulse has been pretty good with like making things available on their website, at least for the Hasbro stuff.
Excuse me, what now?
Okay, for Americans, it's been pretty good. Sorry, Daryl.
Thanks, Charles.
But anyway, that's all we got this week.
All right, we will finish up the show with some feedback. All right, we got two emails this week. First is from Toxic Wheels. Greeting, Transmissions team. Toxic Wheels, a.k.a. Brendan here. First off, I'd like to say thanks for continuing to provide superior Transformers news and updates despite all this COVID craziness going on in the world. Your podcast and Empire of Rust are great to listen to while being stuck at home. I've just finished listening to episode 385 and have some comments about the Studio Series toy line and the 86 movie cast joining them. Quite frankly, I'm okay with it. Even though it was animated, it was still a Transformers movie, right? Some would say it's the best Transformers movie. But the fact that they are running out of live-action movie Transformers just seems bonkers to me. There are so many more live-action figures that if they were released and I had the money for, I'd buy for sure. For example, I'm waiting very patiently for Revenge of the Fallen Ravage to come out, though he'd be released with Soundwave from Revenge of the Fallen, but was shocked when the pictures were revealed and he was not there. Junk Heap, the waste management truck from Dark of the Moon, is another one I'd like to see. How about Drift from Age of Extinction in his Bugatti Veyron mode, or Hound from both Age of Extinction and The Last Knight, maybe even Trench or Onslaught from The Last Knight? How about the appliance cons from Revenge of the Fallen? Point is, I think there are a lot more live-action Transformers that can be put into the Studio Series lines, but there's nothing wrong with the 86 movie cast joining in on the fun, as well as anything to keep the line alive, I say. One last thing, that crossover figure of Top Gun Maverick looks awesome. I wonder if that will be another pre-order figure. Keep up the great work and funny moments. Proud listener, Toxic Wheels. Yeah, I mean, I think we are, we talked about last week, we were all very excited to, you know, to speculate about getting 86 movie cast. You know, we are all fans of the animated 86 movie, so we're looking forward to that. We don't have any pictures yet, so we're it's still really just speculation. Epic, you weren't here last week, so I wanted to get your thoughts on the Studio Series line adding the animated movie figures for that line.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have too much thought on it. I mean, I think it'd be cool. Yeah, I don't I don't know. I guess I don't well, the Studio Series line I don't actually really care for that much. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're, I don't know. I have a few of them and stuff, but I don't actually really, yeah, I just don't really care for the Studio Series characters, I guess. Or their.
So would,
yeah, go ahead.
Would the 86 movie characters entice you to maybe take a second look at if they were put in the Studio Series line? Or
yeah, I mean, that, maybe. I'd just be curious, you know, to see how they'd end up being and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that might be something that would then intrigue me to look at them more than I do. Because right now I'm just like, when I go to like the store, I'm just like, oh, get out of my way. I want to like, I don't want you. Go. So yeah, if they did that, that would probably be cool. I'd probably check them out more for sure, you know, if they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're on the same page as I'm not a fan of the Studio Series either. So, but the 86 movie cast is something that's always near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd be interested, that would be in cool. Them, so.
And I just want to jump in on the 86 movie cast getting in on the Studio Series. If you look at the way Studio Series is running right now, they didn't start off with the 07 movie, go through all the figures in that, then go on to Revenge of the Fallen, go through that, then go on to the next movie. They're going in and just jumping through all the movies and just bouncing around and, you know, doing figures that they want to do, right? That's how Studio Series has been going. So I think they'll continue to do that. They're just going to work in the animated movie now, right? Mm-hmm. So I still think they're going to do live action characters in Studio Series, but now intermixed with the live action movie characters will be the 86 animated movie characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's just the way that the Studio Series has been. There's never been a hard cutoff that said, okay, we're done with the 07 movie, now to move on. Right?
Right.
So that's the way I think that'll probably end up happening. If, in fact, this is going to work, right?
Yeah. And they've also got the opportunity with the 35th anniversary of the movie next year. That's maybe that's why they're trying to capitalize on that with this, putting these characters out again.
Sure.
Although 35th is an odd anniversary.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they'll take any anniversary, right? Like, yeah.
As long as it ends in 5.
Yeah.
Yep. Or 0.
It's a little bit of a tangent, but I'm getting a little PO'd at Marvel because of the anniversaries that they keep on doing. They're doing like the Venom book right now just celebrated its 25th issue. Big 25 anniversary issue for this book. Well, right in the small number, it says legacy number 190. Well, you want to bet your ass that in 10 issues, they're going to have an anniversary issue for the 200th book? You're damn right they will. I get a little PO'd about anniversaries and, you know, everything's an anniversary now. So I don't know. Does it really matter anymore?
No.
No. That's been what we've learned in 2020. Nothing actually matters.
All right. Thanks, Toxic Wheels, for writing in, and we appreciate your feedback. Okay, next is from our friend in the UK, Will, one of our more recent Donatrions. Will says, "Hey, chaps, Will here, one of your UK Donatrions, or UKtrion, can we make that stick?" And I have a comment and a question / talking point. Yoshi, it was good to have you back last week, man. You've been missed. I hope everything is okay and you and yours are well. We will pass the message on to Yoshi since he's not here this week. So on to his questions. What's your cutoff point when it comes to the price of past figures? I'm finding that some of the Siege figures I still don't own have doubled in price now Earthrise is out. Do you just suck it up and pay, or do you have a spending limit you won't go over? What's your haggle game like? Do you regret leaving any figures behind because the price was a bit over the odds? Curious to know your thoughts. As always, glad you've stuck with the podcast. Stay safe, guys. Epic, I'm going to start with you. What do you think about picking up older figures if you missed out on them, and would you be willing to pay a premium for that?
Oh, man. That's one of those things where, like, that's why I try really hard to stay on top of stuff when it first comes out, because I know that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But then I suffer from like the completionist feeling. So if I miss out on something, I will eventually just bite the bullet and accept it and pay the painfully high price. Except I do try to do as much research to find the best deal I can if I missed out on something. But I don't know. I struggle with like making myself not get stuff because I want to have the complete set or whatever, you know, so it's really, I don't necessarily have like a cutoff. Obviously, there is a point where like, you know, if I miss out on any of those, say the like Micromasters or stuff, like I still need the Spy Patrol with like Rat-Bat and stuff. I like cannot find it. And at some point, you know, I was willing to pay almost double it, but it's kind of silly, right? Because like it's just the tiniest little dudes to pay that much for. So it's one of those things where I guess, you know, to me, I really want those because they're Soundwaves dudes, and I want the cute little set of them. But like there's another Micromaster pack that I missed out on. I'm not willing to pay the extra price just because I missed out on these guys. But the bigger figures, when you start getting to like, if I were to miss out on like Earthrise, Optimus, or any of those, for example, I would just end up just paying the hiked price if I missed it. But yeah, it really just comes down to who it is and like if I actually really care about the character and stuff. But yeah, that's why I really try to like get the list ahead of time and figure out what's coming out when it's being released and just trying to stay on top of it so that I don't get slapped like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a late fee, pretty much is what it is.
Yeah. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, what about you? I think you're a little bit more frugal than Epic, maybe. I don't think you're doing the completionist thing.
Yeah, I would not be married if I was a completionist. I have no problems going back and getting older figures. Usually, it would have to be like a convention type purchase, or I don't know, if there's something that I really, really like Bendy Prime. And then when I discovered there was a new, or there was another variant I didn't know about, I'll investigate buying that. But I tend to always think I'm getting ripped off when I'm buying these older figures, just because I don't have a good judge of the value. So if I do, I'll have to run it by Daryl just to make sure.
Now, I will say one thing is that I actually am mostly obsessed with like the War for Cybertron line itself. I know you guys collect way more of the lines and stuff like that. So I feel like if I was collecting a wider amount with like maybe the studio series, like if I was getting into all those, I feel like I would feel the need to be more frugal. But since I'm really only focused on one line and then kind of like my bots and fun little other things, it's kind of like my main toy collection that I have for Transformers.
Yeah, it's easier, I guess, to kind of contain yourself to, you know, your limits, you know, what you're collecting. I'm just kind of like here and there, I get a handful from each line that interests me.
It doesn't have to be the toys. I mean, like the transforming toys, Epic. Like, think about how far you may have gone to get some of the bots that you have not been able to buy in the stores.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No. Sure.
It's the same question.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think Daryl should sum it up here, because he's the haggle master, so he's he knows how to work the system here.
Right. So if you can get them to pay you to take the figure, then you've won.
You're gonna do a YouTube series on how to pull that off?
Yeah, there's
punch
no way
in the face, take your money.
That's right. So haggling is just, it's not about being like a, like crafty or shady or anything like that. Essentially, you need to find somebody who you are, you know, you are ready to buy more than one item with. I'm not going to haggle with somebody who's got one thing, because I have no ground to stand on. If they've got three or four things that I'm interested in, and they're all priced $20, I'm looking at $80. But let's say, you know, hey, can you do $55 for these? Right? That's a significant discount. He might want to punch me in the face, right? But it's an offer, and it all depends on the time, right? If they're getting ready to pack up and he doesn't want to pack these things up, then I might be able to get out of there with $55 of an offer, right? Timing and whatever. It's a learned skill, I guess, but you got to be able to, you know, you got to be able to walk away as well. That's a learned skill for that. So if the guy says, you know what, fuck you, I don't want to deal with you. That's a low bar. I'm not dealing with that shit. Get out of here. All right. See ya. I didn't want to insult you, but I was trying to, you know, get a deal for myself. And you really don't mention that to them. That's just, that's what you say in your head. But yeah, if you got to be ready to walk away, then just walk away.
What if you can tell that your offer made them want to punch you in the face? Would you ever just offer, hey, I'll also let you punch me in the face?
No.
Just learn some self-defense before going in.
Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, if you can say, look, if they come back and they, you know, they say, look, you know, it's $80, I'll do 75. You can say, look, I can't give you 75 on it. I'm buying four things, and $5 off is really not worth my time on these things. I'll go 65, right? That's coming up $5 or $10 on my original offer. And if he still says no on that, then you got to be ready to leave. If you can walk away from that, you know, maybe he'll meet you in the middle at say 70. And then, you know, it's up to you whether you really want him at that much. Now you're down $10 from what the original offer was, but you know, it's dependent on what you're going to get here, right? if they're retailing for $20, then maybe you're saving a little bit. You know, you got to know what you're actually haggling for, right?
Yeah. You got to also just not be afraid to ask either. That's the other thing. The main thing that happens is everyone's always afraid to offend people, but you're not going to know unless you ask. Now, I've never gone to like a convention and haggled in that way, but I go with me and my dad. We go to rock shows where we buy slabs and stuff for cutting and polishing rocks into like jewelry and things. And so...
Oh, you mean actual rocks?
Yes, I thought not you were talking rock like show. Conch. Yep, yep. We haggle our ticket prices down. No, a rock and gem show. And it's kind of the same thing. Unfortunately, you know, you always want to go the first few days, but that's when prices are higher and people are less willing to bargain, but you do miss out on stuff. But we always generally go on like the last day towards the end, the last few hours when people are closing down. Because like you said, if people are like maybe wanting to not pack up or stuff like that, you can usually, and then bundling too is always a thing. If there's a few things at a person's booth that you want, usually that's a way that you can be like, well, look, I'm buying these five items. Can you just come down a bit?
It's the same thing, Epic. Yeah. It's exactly the same kind of deal. And if you're not really interested in buying five things from this guy, but if you've come to the show with a group of friends, say, look, I really want to get a bunch of stuff here, but is there anything that you're actually looking for? And could we just go to this guy together and you get a couple things and I get a couple things and then we bundle it all, right? And then you work a deal, you work a group deal, and then, you know, the guy's happy, he's getting rid of a bunch of stuff and making a ton of money, and you're getting your bunch of stuff and you saved a bunch of money. It's, you know, there's a bunch of ways to do it, but you're right. It's, and don't be afraid to kind of, you got to, you know, look at your adversary, you're the vendor as an adversary, but you're not really going at it. But you know, there's professionals. We've talked about this on an actual convention prep show, but I think we determined there's three different types of vendors. There's ones that it is their actual job, like this is their full-time job, and they're pros and their prices are set.
Yeah,
and you gotta buy tons of stuff to get a minuscule discount. If you're gonna go there, don't even bother to try and haggle. If they've got something you want, just pay the price and be happy.
Kind of the same at the rock and gem shows. You can kind of tell the people who you know, just they're like, there's just no way those people would ever haggle and stuff. But the other thing too is when you ask, you have to be confident, because that's the other thing. If they can tell that you're not confident in your ask, then they're just probably not going to do it. But if you come off like, hey man, this is just worth $10, you know, then that puts them on uneven ground to cave.
Yeah, exactly. Because I see what you did there, cave and rocks. I got it. There are a lot of vendors who it's just their hobby, or there's a lot of vendors who they don't know what the hell they have. And you'll see them at there. It's basically a glorified garage sale for them, and they're pricing their stuff on size. So the giant robot is worth $50, where you are looking at it and it's a G1 Triptychon, but it's missing everything, right? So it might be worth $15, right? But he sees it as a giant transformer from the 80s and he wants $50 for it. And you're like, look, I could use it for a project or something. I can definitely use it, but it's not $50 worth. I'll give you $15. And he's insulted, right? But you know that you're offering what it's worth, but you know, you're not going to win this. He's going to go home with this thing, because he's never going to sell it at $50. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that you can learn, and we definitely should probably do another convention prep probably next time there's actually conventions. But the other thing that I was going to say on this question was that there is stuff that I, you know, I've missed out on myself, and I do. I'm in the boat of, you know, more or less a completionist, and I keep thinking back to Titans Return Slugslinger. It was the last figure in that wave, and I did not get it. I couldn't find it, and I missed it. I'm still looking for it, not as hardcore as I was at the time, but I'm still looking for that figure, and it would complete the deluxe class figures for me on that wave, and maybe most of the actual series. But I miss out on it, and it's a deluxe. It's worth probably $25-$30, you know, maybe a little bit more because it was the last of the wave. But you know, there's mainline figures that are worth money, and then there's ones that just kind of sit at retail and never really move. And that's just what you got to kind of find out which ones you're kind of looking for. But mainline ones will always seem to kind of hover around that retail amount. And sometimes they'll drop well below it, especially if they're crummy. But do you sit around and you wait for them? Going back and forth to TF cons that, you know, we've been lucky enough to kind of come across a lot of these at a lot of different price points, and you see a lot of them in their bin, in like grab bags and bins and whatnot. But yeah, you got to be able to kind of, you know, shop around and see. I'll still keep it on a list. It's definitely still on one of my lists of things to look for. And like Epic said, those Siege Spy Patrol number 2, I found them this past week online in China, and I may have spent $30 to get them, which is way more than they're worth, but I wanted them, so I bought them. So yeah, I have no idea when they're coming. They're from China, so, and hopefully they send me the right one. So that, but yeah,
in a box.
So it's just, yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things that I have definitely spent more than the thing is worth to get it, but it'll make my brain feel good when
it'll bring you joy
for about 5 minutes and then I'll put it aside. But yeah. Yeah, there's lots of stuff that you know, I'll spend a lot more money on than I probably should.
Yeah, I kind of really just pick and choose, and I tend to if I'm not excited enough to get it when it first comes out, I'll tend to let it go just because I'm actively trying to avoid falling into the, you know, the completionist or you know, collect everything bucket. So I'm trying to avoid that by just not engaging and trying to.
You're just buying Unicron and you're using that to justify not buying anything.
Exactly.
I applaud you on your self-control.
Well, it's kind of like out of laziness, because I, you know, if it's, my stores are really terrible, my local stores are really terrible with their stocking, so I kind of don't find a lot of figures here. So if I don't see it on the store, I figure, well, I guess I just won't get it. So if I don't, you know, and I don't buy a lot of stuff online just because, you know, I feel like if you're in the store, you can usually get deals sometimes if you're, you know, like just things go on sale or whatever. But with online, you're usually going to just pay retail price, you know, whatever, when at Hasbro Pulse or other places. So, yeah, so that's, I think it's just trying not to put much effort into the hunt that saves you money, I guess, in the long run. Well, thanks, Will, for that question. I hope that answered everything. And sorry to hear that you're, you know, you're looking at large increases in prices if you miss out on things. I know the distribution in the UK is maybe a little bit harder than it is in the US. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, that's also, you should also, I think it's also helpful to check with fans, other fans online on different websites, like people, you know, set up buy, sell threads. Yeah. And, you know, you can usually get some good deals there.
And look beyond the most immediate one that's just finished, right? So we're in Earthrise now, and if you missed a figure in Siege or possibly the last wave of stuff, look beyond that. Look back to like how readily available like previous waves of generation stuff is, right? Can you get them, and how much are they, right? Because eventually mainline stuff will get to that stage. And if people are just trying to just get it out and just kind of move on to what's next, you'll be able to get to it, right? If that's something you really want to have and you want to collect it for a long time, patience is the key. You'll get to it, and it'll come down to the price that you want to get it. It's just how long you want to wait.
Right. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for feedback, and that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Epic, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you when you're not on Transmissions?
Oh, when I'm not on Transmissions, you can go to epicsuicide.com. That is epyksuicide.com.
Awesome. Yeah, and all your links and social media and everything is linked there.
Yep. So. Yep.
We will link to that in the show notes. Everyone can find it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
I got it. Whoa, sorry, that was loud.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize how loud that was.
That woke us up.
You didn't test your levels first, Jeremy.
I did not.
You don't Charles have video on, Charles.
Oh, that could be a problem.
He's our smart
there
one.
There we go.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.